Okay, ready to go, Mickey?
Ready. Let's do this.
All right. Welcome to the PMFA Best Practices Operation Call. I am Joel Smith, Papa Murphy's franchise for about 14 years, and I have 8 stores in the Des Moines area. I'm also a John Maxwell certified coach and leadership trainer. So we've been doing these best practice calls for, several months now, I guess since the beginning of the year. And the purpose for these calls is, number one, to have a place where franchisees and managers can connect and learn to share best practices. Number two, to help owners work on our business and not just in it. And number three, to share systems and strategies that drive profitability. And we've been doing this, and we've had a lot of callers over the months, and it's been very beneficial for me just to be a part of teaching it, and also just to connect up with you guys and connect up with Mickey. Mickey's got a lot of great things to say, and so do all of you guys. So it's been a blessing for me to be able to host this call. So right now we are going through a series of the 5-Star Playbook. Some of you may be familiar with that. There's 5 months worth of training in this. We're on the 3rd month. So it's level 3 that we're on. Last month, in August, we did level 2, and that consisted of team member training, quality product, shift management, and food costs. And that was a great conversation, and Mickey led that. And today, or this month, we're going to be discussing the level 3 of the 5-Star Playbook, and that would consist of payroll, safety, and HR administration, hospitality, increase average check, and labor costs. So hopefully this will be really interesting today. I'm looking forward to it a lot. My co-host today is Mickey Waters. She's been a franchisee for 2.5 years. She has 8 stores in Oregon, not Washington. Last time. She was a market leader for Papa Murphy's for 11.5 years as well, and she's got some experience teaching the 5-Star Playbook. So we are glad to have Mickey help lead us through this. Hi, Mickey.
Good morning, Joel. I'm glad to be here. I got a little bit of a frog in my throat. It's hungover from last week. So.
All right. Well, we have kind of a big chunk to try to talk through today, so we're going to try to hit the highlights of some of this. If any of you have the 5-Star Playbook, feel free to follow right along. Otherwise, we're going to have a good discussion. Mickey's going to teach us some wisdom about the 5-Star Playbook and some of the things that her company does.
Well, for us, in that entry section of level 3, where it talks about accountability, one of the things that we have been using, one of my partners, myself, our 2 area supervisors, we have Pulse and we use Pulse all the time on our phones. And one of the things that we've all also done with Pulse is we make sure we have our notifications turned on, because what we had found previously is through every payroll we would always catch that somebody did not clock out, and then their hours did not get corrected. And so we have made sure that we're using those notifications, and then the next morning, whichever one of our area supervisors is responsible for that store, if there's a notification that somebody got clocked out automatically, we go in after workflow is done and we make sure that those hours were corrected. The other thing in that section that we're pretty adamant about is safety committees. When it talks about whether you have them or not, if you are a business with 10 people or more, you have to have a safety committee. And that covers all of your locations. It's not just 10 people in a location. It's 10 people in your company. You have to have a safety committee. So for us, we've made it easy. We've just said, by the 23rd of each month, safety committee has to be faxed in to Mickey. I review all of those. I make sure that they're not writing things down like oh gosh, there was one not too long ago, had something to do with not having enough scoops or not having enough pie servers or something like that. It was like, okay, wait a minute, guys. Let's go back and redo some training, because having pie servers is not a safety issue. It's an operations issue. So we talk about that. We go through, we make sure that the safety committee is the same people each month, that they're not just catching the people that happen to be working the day that's convenient to do it. It needs to be a steady group of people on there. And then when those safety committee reports come in, I read through them and make sure that there isn't any issues that are safety issues that we need to take care of. You know, maybe a wire on a plug that's come loose, or the lights out back are not coming on. Maybe with the time change and, you know, going from daylight to dark really quickly, that needs, you know, maybe our safety lights need to be checked. So we are very adamant about doing those. In that same section of people, Joel, we take doing orientations really seriously. And as I used to tour restaurants, as I toured stores, and when I was with Burger King touring restaurants, I could see good training that included a good orientation and maybe a little bit lax on that. When you have an employee who doesn't know where to go get mozzarella, there's an issue. They didn't get a store tour. Or if you tell, you know, if you're with them and they don't know what they're supposed to do with their uniform and they're leaving uniforms in the bathroom, or, you know, there's just a whole bunch of things that can go along with that. We use all of the items there under the required safety training and documentations. We're just adamant about it. And for us, our area supervisors or myself sit in on at least one interview with a new member. Or if I don't get to sit in on the interview or the orientation, I make it a point. I've got a list, and I wish you could see. I don't know if you can see my list, Joel, but I have a couple of people that just started last Thursday. So they're on my list of people to go and visit today and tomorrow, because I want them to have the expectation, my expectations of what, you know, what we have for guest service, what we have for safety standards. And I also want them to know that we want this to be a forever job for them. And if they aren't going to stay with us forever, and most of them are not, we all know that, I want them to learn forever job skills that they take to their next jobs forever. And I want them to say to people, I learned that at Papa Murphy's. Yeah. I feel really strong about that. So they get to hear it from the owner. They get to hear my lecture about don't burn a bridge, because you never know when you're going to have to come back here. Yeah. I tell them that all the time. I also tell them that I've got friends all over in Papa Murphy's, all over the United States. I've even said, I got friends in Iowa. You want to go to college in Iowa? There might be a Papa Murphy's right nearby, and I know owners there. I can help you get a job if you need to, as long as you don't burn your bridge with me.
Right.
So we spend a lot of time on doing those orientations. Within this same section, it spends time talking about performance reviews. Performance reviews are something that's hard to manage, especially when you have a lot of locations.
It takes some discipline.
Yeah, it does take discipline. And I will tell you that we don't adhere to the 30-60-90, because I just feel like then we just constantly be doing evaluations, and I want people doing training and then evaluate how that has been. And so usually at the 60-day mark, at the 30-day mark, we're evaluating people. Is this somebody we're going to keep? Is it somebody who's going to make it? And then we do evaluations July 1st and January 1st. We start those and we go through. And if we're going to, one of them is for performance, one of them is for wage review. And
yep.
And now we're on that schedule and we stay with it.
One of the things we've done in the past is we've just had 2 months out of the year. Like you have January and February. And so you could just have January and July, you said, I think. Yep. So you could just have 2 full months, and they have, so your managers might have a full month to get their evaluations done in their whole store.
Right.
We've done that type of thing, too. So they kind of have a deadline, but they have a range as
right.
well.
Right, they have that flexibility. We're mandated in Oregon to minimum wage hikes. You know, so, you know, Keith and Peggy could tell you that, you know, we're, whether we want to give somebody a raise or not, we're going to be giving people a raise. And so we know that, but we also want them to understand what we expect if we're giving them that wage increase. So
right.
we tie it to that July timeframe because that's when those wages take effect for the state.
Gotcha. You know, you just said something, and that is expectations. And that is huge when it comes to, appraisals, or even more importantly, probably the orientations. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you how important the orientations are. The number one reason why people leave their job is because it's unclear what's expected of them.
Yeah.
And so we can, you know, so this isn't just an operational issue where we're affecting our operations and making sure that people are doing things the right way and are aware of safety things. This is also a turnover issue. Because if you don't help your people know exactly what is expected of them, they're not going to feel comfortable working within those realms, and they're not going to know what they can do and what they can't do. And when people don't know what to do, they feel very, very uncomfortable, insecure, and they'll leave and they'll go find a place where they can find out what's expected of them.
Yeah. I have some friends in another franchise organization within Papa Murphy's who shared with me that they do exit interviews. You know, they send out a sheet when somebody leaves, and then the sheet comes back. And they share them with their managers because people don't have anything to gain and they don't have anything to lose by filling those out. And one that they shared with me was about a woman who had left. And when she left, she said that in the 3 weeks that she worked there, and she only worked there 3 weeks, but in that short period of time, she every single night that she worked, she was sent to go do dishes because she wasn't fast enough. And she didn't know, you know, what to do. And if they asked her to go get something, she didn't know where it was. Or if they asked her to go chop tomatoes, she didn't know how to do it. And so, you know, I think that goes right along with what you're saying. If the person doesn't know, they are going to get frustrated and they're going to leave. And we can say, oh, well, they should kind of learn it through osmosis. But not everybody learns that way.
Right.
And some people need to see it, to do it, to practice it, and have it reviewed again and again and again until you get really good. You know,
right.
I am not the fastest pizza maker by any means. But on Saturday, you know, if I didn't know how to do it at all, you know, I would have been worthless in our stores because we were busy on Saturday and I made pizza on Saturday. And you know, I'm probably much better on the phones or working a till, but it's where I was needed. But I knew what to do, and I just need, you know, like anything else, you need practice sometimes.
Sure. Yep. So one important word in our business is the word policy. And policy is basically having something written and understood so that we can communicate it clearly to people.
Oh.
And
yeah.
Yeah, and so I see a lot of area of improvement for a lot of restaurants, whether it be Papa Murphy's or all other ones, where policy is either non-existent or it's just not communicated. Maybe it might exist, but it's not being talked about. And so I think that's important. So talk to us a little bit about some of the more important policies that we just absolutely have to have in place.
Well, for us, we, you know, every employee gets an employee handbook, an orientation manual. And in that, we have a number of things in the very back that we let the kids take the book with them, but there's a back page in the book that we actually read out loud to them and go through them. We let them know that we have electronic surveillance, that they're always on camera. We let them know that substance abuse isn't going to be tolerated, and we have a policy for that. We go through making sure they know where the MSD sheets are. We understand, you know, they understand handling chemicals. Open door policy, they can come to any manager. They can come to any of the owners, and the owners' names and phone numbers are in the front of the book. scheduling, our hours of operation, and non-discrimination policy. Yep. Those things for us. And then in addition to that, we top it off with letting them know what our meal policy is. We give 50% discount to our employees any day of the week. We also encourage their family to come in, and we give family discounts. So, you know, we want them to know all the important, you know, bad, I don't want to say the bad things, but the things that could get you fired. But we also want them to know the important things that are great about working in, with us, employee meals. We give scholarship money. You know, we're flexible on hours if you're going to college or if you're in high school and you want to do sports. So we go over this book, and we get their signature on that last page, and that follows their file when it goes to our office.
All right. Well, hey, let's move to the hospitality section here. This is one of my favorites. This is so important. I mean, this is really our business. We're in the business of hospitality. That's what we do. So tell us a little bit about what you know.
If you go to page 8, and that's the, you know, page 8 in this section, there's just the whole area on executing WOW service. From top to bottom, choosing your attitude, using the mat rule, giving them, you know, opening the door for a customer, helping them to their car, taking care of the customer, having fun. We have a good time, or we try to have a good time when we're working. At the end of the day, I had a coworker who told me when I first started, it's just pizza. It's fun. It's fun. It's fun to have pizza. And yeah, we may have, especially on a Halloween or some other event day, we may have tickets coming out of that printer like crazy, but you got to have fun, because otherwise your kids are going to get stressed out, you're going to get stressed out, and nobody works well under that, and the guests recognize that. So that whole section of execute WOW service, you can tie it all up into a nice, tidy package just by following those things. We also make sure the team members know about handling guest complaints. We empower them to handle guest complaints if they receive them. We also look at our mindshare reports, and we take them serious. We believe them. We know that every now and then there's going to be a turd that sneaks into the bunch, and usually if an employee feels that they were wronged by a guest and then we get a report about that, I'm the one that calls the guest. I want to be the one that has to talk a guest down, if that's going to be. But we let our employees, we empower them to take care of a guest if there's an issue, just on with a pizza or something like that.
That term empowerment is so important. And we've talked about this before, but it is frustrating when you go to a restaurant and or any business for that matter, and you have an issue, and that frontline person that you're speaking to has to go find their manager. Yeah. And then that manager, sometimes, depending on how escalated it is, they need to go find their manager. And you're right, we need to train everybody how to deal with problems, how to be problem solvers. And we need to give them permission to use their best judgment and to give out a free product if they need to, or to give out a have one on us card, or whatever they need to do in order to make it right, and to know that that's encouraged and not discouraged. Yeah, so
and
I agree with that.
And the same thing for us with our discounts. You know, if a guest walks in and they say they forgot their coupon at home, well, you know, any of my surveys have got a 3-2-1 on it. Give them at least a survey coupon if they mention it. I'm okay with that, because they got in their car and they drove all the way to my location.
Right. We pay a lot of money to get people to walk through that door.
Yeah.
They walk through that door because of a coupon. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't want to lose anybody. And speaking of not wanting to lose anybody and continuing to grow sales, in the next section, it's about increasing our check average. I'm really proud of something we've done, but I'll get to that in just a second. If you go to that page 12, where it talks about accountability, we use a script for suggestive selling. We make sure our grab and goes are full to the max. They're full until closing. If it's not in there, you can't sell it. And anything that's in there, it should be you know, a product that's going to be able to be sold into the next day. Now, if it's a salad that expires during that day, we are pushing the heck out of those at the end of the night, and then we're making fresh ones so that we have something to start with the next morning. We don't, you know, if we have salads that, say, expire today, we're not backloading behind them with ones that expire tomorrow, because we want to get rid of the ones that need to be used up today. And, you know, people go into the grocery store and they look for the oldest date on the milk, you know, so that they don't have to buy the one that expires right away. So we use that philosophy. We keep the ones that have to go today up front and then offer a discount. If they're not going to sell, we offer a discount and then get rid of those and restock. We have really been pushing our online orders. As I was sharing with you earlier today, we took a look at last year's online percentages. We've taken a look at this year's online percentages. We have changed up our phone script. And I have a couple of stores. One store in particular finished period 9 of last year. Their online percentage was 4.64% online sales. Pretty crappy. Or at the time, it was, you know, it was probably about average. With, I think, the Portland DMA was at about 5% last year. This year, through period 9, and we're not at the end of period 9 by any means, we've got more time to go, but this store, same store, is already at 12.86. So last year they were at 4.64. Now they're at 12.86. We took some measurements earlier in the year about the time that, you know, corporate was kind of stable in how they were promoting it. So I give corporate some credit for increasing it some, and then we took it to the next level by focusing on online. So I think if a store wants to increase their check average, do it through online.
I agree with that. And, you know, there's something that can really harm your online sales too. And this is what we saw at the beginning. And I know our company has gotten better at this, much better. But at the beginning, it was a little bit of a culture shock. But that is just not having some of the orders ready on time. That can be devastating for your online orders. You know, your customers are ordering online for a purpose and for a reason. Mm-hmm. They know that if they order online, they can pay for it online and have it done and ready, and they can just walk in and pick it up and walk out. And that's a great incentive for them to order more often and to order more product. But boy, it's a buzzkill if they walk in and they've got to wait in line, or if they're told the order isn't ready.
Yeah, and now, you know, there's sometimes when we have a new cashier, there's a little bit of a confusion on finding the paid online order. So on our rolling rack, we're trying to dedicate one rolling rack to online, and the upper half of it is not paid, and the lower half is paid. Yep. That way, you know, when the guest comes in and they start walking to our pickup area, we say, do you have an online order? Is it paid? And when they say yes, you just turn right around, you go to the paid section and get their name, and out the door they go. And I know some stores are testing putting a paid call-in rack to the side where a guest can just walk up and get their order and leave. Now, you probably wouldn't be able to do that in all stores, but in many of them, you will be able to do that. So that would be interesting.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, I think add-on sales is a big... is a really big factor when it comes to increasing our average check as well. You know, add-on sales is something that any store can do it.
Yeah.
But number one, they have to believe they can. I've seen stores go from 25% to 45% or 50% in 1 week just because of an emphasis in it. I've seen stores that didn't believe that they could do much more than that because they never had done more than that. A new manager comes in, boom, everything changes because the whole philosophy and the culture changes. So what have you seen in that area that's really helped?
I will tell you what we did is when we started promoting and changed our phone script for the online orders, we brought back out the daily goals sheet. And so each of the stores has the daily goals sheet posted. And so what's on there is family size, increasing their family size percentage, their AOS percentage and their online percentage. And so I set their goals for them based on what their trends had been. And in each case, we're seeing at a minimum of a 5% increase in their AOS. We've seen 5% increase in their family size. And so bringing it to their attention, putting it front and center, we have it right on the walk-in doors in most of the stores. Here's the other thing that I did is on my iPhone, in the notes section, my area supervisors and I, when we go into a store, we have one note that is shared between the three of us. And we edit that whenever we go into a store. We verify that the temperatures and the safety checks are done. And then we also look at those daily goals and make sure that they're filled out. And at least once a week, we're taking a picture of that goal sheet and sharing it amongst the three of us. And it kind of, you know, by them doing that, you have to inspect what you expect. And by them looking for that every time, you know, the managers know that we're looking and expecting results.
That's so right.
It's helping us. It's helping us move that needle.
Yep, accountability.
Yeah.
In all those areas. Yep.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the last section here. Labor. Labor is kind of a lost art in some ways. Some people kind of have the philosophy of just do the best you can and see what happens. And that's
wow.
A really expensive way to go about it, but I've seen it. But
the good thing we
really
don't
important.
Drive that way.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, for labor for us is we had to set some parameters of what our expectations first were for guest service. We never have anybody in the store alone. So none of our stores are ever run with one person running the front counter and making pizzas and all of that. We just don't believe in that. Two reasons. One for safety, and the other one, you can't do everything. You just can't. So in order to do that, you have to use labor in order to fulfill that, because there are times of the day when there isn't much going on. So we've looked at figuring out when prep was going to be done. You know, if it's a slow time of day and you have to have two people there, well, that's the time of day when some stores may be completely done with their prep and their whole dough and prep team is already gone. But we may not do that, and we may shift filling up meats and doing vegetables and stuff like that in that slow time in the afternoon, just because we want to keep those two people busy that are there. In our slower stores, it's hard for us to make labor right now in Oregon, I will tell you. And we have a couple of stores that don't make labor. And I'm, you know, by far, we are not perfect. In the other six stores, we're making it every year, every month, every period, and those stores are much busier. It's a challenge. And we literally last Wednesday, we asked our market leader, market coach, whatever their, and I don't remember what their new titles are now, but we asked him to come to town and go through the new labor matrix forms. And my partner, Richard, was one of the people that helped write the original one back years and years and years ago. So we found that the UPH we were expecting from our lower volume stores with new employees was much lower than we were actually requesting them to do. And so we're having to reevaluate that, and Richard and I are sitting down on Wednesday. One of the things that we do have happen, though, is our area supervisor, along with the managers, write the schedules and manage the labor. They use forecasting. They go in and they do that every week. They take a look at, do we have a football game coming up? Is, you know, what games are going to be on television? What weather? We look at weather continuously. And there is no perfect way to manage labor. It's like doing dough. You know, one day you can be up and one day you can be down, depending on weather, depending on the football game, depending on the special. You know, I have some communities where any pizza with spinach doesn't sell. But if I put a cowboy on special, we're going to be busy. So all of those factors go into managing labor and managing dough. They kind of go hand in hand.
Right.
And I wish I had a magic bullet, because I don't. We struggle with it like everybody else does, especially with a minimum wage. Our minimum wage is $10.75.
Yeah, that's high. Yeah, it is. We're fortunate not to be there quite yet, but we're not far behind you though. So you know, with labor, it's hard, and when you have a store or a manager that's struggling with managing labor. A lot of times managers don't necessarily know where to start to diagnose that problem and to try to fix that problem. So what we've done in our company is we've broken labor up into three different sections. And then
I'm making notes.
Yeah, so we diagnose it from three different sections. The first section would be the forecasting and the scheduling. So it's the proactive planning part of labor. You know, if you're over scheduling, and you do all the rest of the things the best you can, you're still going to be over on labor because you're starting off with too many. If you're under scheduling, you know, it's going to be a different. And then the second section is what we call efficiency. And this is everybody, are we moving fast? Are we getting it done? Do we have time goals in place? Are we putting our benchmarks in place? And are we moving efficiently, working as a team? And do we have fast people, or do we have people in the right places, that kind of thing. And that's something that you can schedule right. You can be perfect at making a schedule and forecasting, but if your people are slow and inefficient or unmotivated, it doesn't matter. You're going to miss out. And then the third section would be more of a reactive management, maybe thinking ahead. Maybe it's Thursday and you're averaging being down 10 or 15 pizzas all week long, and so you can make some plans for the next day. Hey, you know, next day I gotta cut an hour, so maybe call a person or two and have them come in half an hour late. And you're doing this ahead of time. You're not waiting till the end of the shift and sending people home. Maybe you're always looking one day ahead and making some adjustments.
Yeah.
And so we look at it in those three sections, because if you misdiagnose it, you know, and try to treat it the wrong way, you're going to keep spinning your tires and never get anywhere.
Right. I like that. And we, you're right. We focus on number one and number three pretty heavily. When we schedule, we schedule going into the rush. So it may be, you know, 10:30, 10:45, 11, or 10, 11, 11:45, but not, you know, not scheduling everybody at 11 o'clock in the morning or at noon. You know, we build into it, and then same thing, and then build back out. Same thing going into dinner. It may be 4, 4:30, 4:45, 5 o'clock, instead of having everybody come on at 4:30. And then when they're going out, we're doing that same thing in reverse going out. Reactive management, I would say one of the things that we definitely do is if it has been slow during the day and we've been very efficient, we'll push people down so that, you know, instead of them coming in at 4:45, we'll push them to 5 or 5:15 and just give them a call or give them a text and, you know, push them to come in a little bit later, because every 15 minutes counts.
Yeah.
It you know, it's a couple of it's dollars here and dollars there, and it all adds up very, very quickly.
Yep. Yeah, right. So, you know, running labor, like you said, it's very difficult. It's hard for everybody to do.
Mm-hmm.
But when you keep pushing those principles, you keep training, you train for efficiency, you forecast and you pay attention to the details of the forecasting, like football games or like weather or holidays and all those, and take those into consideration, and then just be on top of communicating to your people of what are you going to do if, you know, what are you going to do if you're busier than you expect? What are you going to do if you're slower than you expect? And that communication to your people is so, so huge.
Yeah. So. And having them look at what their labor's at. you know, having them review that and review it every morning, what happened yesterday. And again, if we see that labor's high, but we know we've done all of those other things, we will go back and we will look at video and we will really look at what the efficiency was. You know, we can't be in 8 stores, or we may not be even in 1 store every single day, but you know, we've got the technology, and if, you know, a manager says, I cut everybody I could. Well, if you cut everybody you could, how did we still not make it and we had, you know, good sales? What was going on during the day? And so we may go back and we may look at video. We also definitely look at how much work gets done after closing, because, you know, closing can just eat up your money really, really fast. And if you don't have, you know, pre-closing work, or what they call short shifts in our group, done ahead of time, and everything gets held until the moment you lock the door, your team's going to be there for an hour and a half each, you know, and for us, that's 2.5 hours.
And they're going to be unhappy
too.
They
don't even want to spend.
Yeah, they'll be unhappy because they feel like they're behind. Whereas, you know, if the team stays caught up the best that they can throughout the rush, and they take care of the dishes, and they're rushing around, they're cleaning up after themselves quickly, and 7 o'clock comes around, and the 7 o'clock person has maybe the 7 or 7:30 person has a task list of things that they need to accomplish before they go home, as opposed to it's 7 o'clock, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Then you can have your stuff done, and by the time closing comes around, you can feel like you're ahead, and you can enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's just so hard to be behind all the time.
You know, and all of that, I think, Joel, comes back to training. And we always go in and we set the example. I go in and I do dough. I go in and I, like I said, you know, on Saturday for the football game, I was making pizza. And joking about the fact, okay, who's going to be faster than me today? You know, and then you get them thinking and realizing how fast they can go, and then you hold them to that. You know, how fast can I restock the Pepsi cooler? How fast can I mop the lobby? All of those things, when they see you doing it, or if you have an area supervisor, you know, we as owners, you know, should be able to set that pace and
yep.
do things, even though we may not always be great at all of them. We can go in there and try to set that pace, and our area supervisors can too. And in my case, my area supervisors are the fastest. And so I push them to go in there and say, okay, beat me. Come on, beat me today.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, speed really isn't about, it's not a physical attribute. It's a mental attribute. It's an attitude. It's an expectation. You can be a pace setter by just setting the expectations.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, and being a pace setter, that's a really good way of putting it, being a pace setter truly is that's what we try to do.
Yep, excellent. All right, well, hey, this has been a great conversation. We will end the general session at this point, so if anybody needs to go, feel free to go, but if you want to stick around and for some discussion time, Mickey and myself will be on the line here, and we'll answer any questions you might have, or we'd love to even just hear your comments or suggestions or whatever you might, tips and tricks that you might want to share with us as well. So we'll go ahead and open up the line. So if anybody has any questions or thoughts, feel free to chime in.
Hi, Mickey. This is Peggy.
Hi, Peggy.
Hey, we were going through a slow period, and we were trying to increase our sales. And we went ahead and set goals as far as units, percentage of increase, surveys. And what the reward was an increase, $1 more per hour for the 2-week period. And they had to meet the goal for the first, you know, during that 2-week period. We picked our slowest month of our tracking mm-hmm. of our net sales to do this challenge. And it helped tremendously as far as getting our staff motivated in add-on sales, family size, a huge difference in the family size increase. So that's what we found worked for us.
Did it, Peggy, were they able to sustain it after the first part of the test?
Yeah, this went on, I think we did a six-week period, and right now we're doing really well. And that we did, I want to say, last year, and they now get it. They now get the add-on sales, and they understand. And I think we even brought it back a second time. I look at my calendar. I have a spreadsheet that shows every single day, every unit by year as a comparison.
Sure.
And I'm able to see when is a good time to try this.
Mm-hmm. So and to, what were the dates that you, what were your, kind of your control dates?
Control dates.
So the dates that they were not being paid during that time. What dates did you use as your, you know, this is our slow time?
Oh, okay. If I'm looking at my calendar, I'd say our slow period is period two.
Okay.
If that's what you're...
Yeah.
And I don't know for you, but period two, week three, I always see in the red, what I call the red zone. I have four colors. I have green, yellow, orange, and red.
Mm-hmm.
And I rate my weeks as far as where it stands for the year.
Yeah.
And I would say period two is one of our lowest times.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great suggestion. That is, I'm gonna put that on my calendar for taking a look at next year. that's a really great idea. I'll tell you what. I mean, you're in the same boat as we are with the Oregon minimum wage, and if my kids were making more than another dollar an hour, they'd probably be thrilled, because that would keep them from going to some of the coffee shops. That's my challenge right now. I'm losing a lot of people to Dutch Brothers and Starbucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Spitz will do it.
Yeah.
You bet.
That's a great suggestion. Thank you, Peggy.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I'm wondering, Mickey and I were talking before the call started, we were wondering about onboarding. And there are some services out there that provide onboarding, like Snagajob and Paychex. Is anybody on the call that uses any type of third-party onboarding process or service?
Take that as a no.
Probably not. Okay.
Yeah, I know that on the PMFA website, there was not, somebody asked about that just in the last few days, and there were only a couple of people that responded with who they were using. And just recently, one of my partners, we were talking about how much it costs us to do payroll right now, because as we all know from doing payroll, it's not just about entering the payroll numbers into the computer and spitting out a check. What it is about is, doing unemployment claims. And it's about, for us, we have direct deposits. So we've got some little kid who loses their debit card. Well, then we've got to go and reissue them, a new deposit debit card, or their mom closes their bank account without them knowing it, and then we've got to reissue a check and get them reentered into the deposits. And then in Oregon, we also are required to put money in what's called Oregon Saves, which is a retirement plan for every employee. We're required to do that unless the employee opts out. So every day, the first day we start payroll, then we have to get a report from Oregon that tells us who's changed their deductions or who's opted out or who's done, you know, changed their name or something like that. So doing payroll anymore is a much larger job. And so I'd be interested in knowing who else is using another company to do all of that and process their payroll.
Yeah, same here. We do our payroll through QuickBooks, and it's a bigger chore than it used to be. Then there's other kind of deductions that need to come out for different things, you know. It can be a little messy at times. Yeah, insurance, right.
Yeah. Managing all of the insurance, different kinds of insurance, has gotten to be a thing. Peggy, how do you do payroll? Who do you do payroll, or do you have a service?
Hi. No, this is Keith. We're using PrimePay, and we are just now in the process of setting up Oregon Saves, and it looks like it's going to go fairly smoothly. We're still figuring out who's going to send in the information. It's probably going to be our accountant, but PrimePay is going to, you know, produce the information,
mm-hmm.
and then either they'll issue the checks or we will, according to how it works out cost-wise.
Do you do direct deposit for your employees?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I'm convinced it's the only way to go. But, you know, we do have those little anomalies where, like I said, the kid will lose that, either their focus card or mom will change their bank account information without them knowing it. PrimePay, I'm not familiar with PrimePay. Are they a company through your bank, or how did you find them?
PrimePay is similar to Paychex.
Okay.
And I don't remember where we found PrimePay.
I've dealt with them.
It's been so long we've been with them that.
Oh, okay.
I do remember we left Paychex for them. We were having issues with Paychex back then, and they kept raising their prices on us. So.
Mm.
So between those two things, we found PrimePay and been with them ever since.
All right. Well, I'll take a look at that. Thank you. I'm getting more and more. In the last 6 months, I've had more of the forms that have to be filled out for military service, you know, where they send you the inquiry, whether you think the person is honest and all that kind of stuff. And again, it's not that it takes that much time, but it does take time. And so when you look at the scope of everything having to do with your HR, it's a much larger job than it used to be, and especially now for us with Oregon Saves, because we have with 8 locations, and then our partners have 9 locations of another restaurant concept. And then the same payroll clerk does both of those. It's a lot of wrangling paper. A lot of paper to wrangle.
Yeah, Nick, you can easily let that interfere with other things that are important as well if you're not careful.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm fortunate to have an office manager that deals with most of the HR and the payroll, and so what I have to do with payroll is very minimal. You know, I okay raises and different things and sign the checks. I don't have to do a lot. But in the earlier days, before we kind of got established, it was just hard to do. You know, this one of those things. So I would encourage you, any new owners out there that maybe are feeling overwhelmed or whatever. Figure out a way to lessen your load the best you can by delegating and finding the right people to do the jobs, however you can do that. That can really take a load off, especially if you have multiple stores and you're growing or planning on growing.
Yeah. But also remember, every time you bring on another person to take on those take on that role, it's an additional expense to your contributions.
Right.
So it's that balancing act. Can I do it? Should I do it? That's the other thing. Should you do it? Because if you don't do it well, and you mess with an employee's pay, that's never going to go well.
Right.
Never going to go well. And usually to undo the mistake takes much longer than doing it right the first time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So. Okay, any other thoughts or questions? Any good recommendations or best practices on managing labor?
It's a tough subject.
It is. Everybody's scratching their head saying, no, I don't know how to do it either.
Yeah.
It is hard. I think, you know, I think if you're going to pinpoint managing labor on just one single factor, I would say just have the right people.
Yeah.
You know, if you're trying to manage labor with the wrong people, it's an uphill battle and you'll never really get there. You've got to have the right people. People have to be motivated. They have to be able to be taught and commit to the right standards. And you just can't get that out of the wrong people. So I think everything goes back to staffing. Staffing is your underlying platform that you have to get right if you want to be successful. And when you have the right people, they're so much easier to train, and you enjoy training those people even more. And they'll learn, and they'll do the things right, and they'll be able to manage labor. But wrong people, that'll never happen.
Yeah. So when are we meeting again?
I don't know. I don't have a calendar in front
of
me.
October 22nd.
October 22nd, okay. Yeah.
Fourth Monday of the month.
Yep, fourth Monday. So, and that is, it's about a week before Halloween. So maybe we can spend a few minutes talking about some suggestions on Halloween preparation as well.
Yeah, here's my suggestions for Halloween preparations. You best be doing it right now.
Yeah, that's right. I have a monthly meeting. It's at the beginning of every month with my managers. It's a manager meeting that we just sit down for 2 hours and we talk and we plan. We review spreadsheets and sales reports and marketing plans and calendars and all of that stuff. But when it comes to the October planning session, we really have just one subject, and that is Halloween.
Yeah.
So we talk through all of the forecasting, like 3 weeks ahead of time. We talk through all of our dough preparation. We talk through our pre-makes and have a plan of what we're going to do. And we have a philosophy that we're a strategy that we use. We start from the end result and work our way backwards. Mm-hmm. And we ask ourselves, in order to get this result, what do we need to do in order to ensure that? And so we work backwards. And so we just spend that whole time planning about it. And sometimes you'll get some of the experienced managers, they've kind of been through this a number of times, but it doesn't matter. They still need to hear it. They still need to hear it over and over and over, and you have to hit all of the details. So,
well, I like to remind them the reason they have to hear it again is because they've got to regurgitate it to the people who are new in their store who have never heard it.
Right. Yeah. Yep. And here's a secret too. It's not a secret. Most of you probably know this, but as an owner, if you just rely on your manager to plan this out and to get this done, it's likely not going to happen very well. Or even your area supervisors, you still have to set the pace. Mm-hmm. Even if you've got a great area supervisor, you still have to be the one that initiates it, because it's your pocketbook that this is going to come out of if there's a train wreck.
Yeah.
And anytime that's the case, you are the best person to cast the vision.
We have specific days on the calendar where the plan is due. So right now, on October 10th, the plan is due to me. It would have been due on the 9th to the area supervisor. And they've obviously been, you know, they're working leading up to it, looking at last year's information, the year before, all of that kind of stuff, because, you know, this year being on a Wednesday, it's different every year. And so on the 10th, those plans are due, and that way there's no chance that they aren't going to have the right produce order when it comes time, or they aren't going to have the right Sigma order when it comes time, and the schedule also, because they're going to be 3 weeks, you know, early on the schedule. So all of that has to be done and locked and loaded by October 10th.
Yep, that's right. Proactive management, that's the secret to leadership. Things go so much smoother when you can plan ahead, think ahead, and do ahead.
Yep.
No doubt. So, all right. Well, unless anybody else has anything else, I think we can probably put this call to rest.
All right. Nice talking with you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Job. Have a good day, everybody.
Bye-bye.